Hello. Welcome to everyone watching, listening online, to everyone gathered here in this place. I'm so glad we could be together in this way. It's been an eventful week for the Hodges family. Heather isn't here today because she's still recovering from an emergency appendectomy she had to have several days ago. So she's doing well, getting much better. We appreciate your prayers, but we have everything else in good shape, all that we need. But she's at home watching today. I'll begin what is my last sermon here as your preacher by reading the opening words from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, where he preached the gospel before moving on to preach it in other cities across the Roman Empire. This is what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We, I'll change it to I always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in my prayers. I remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Farewell sermons are tricky. There's a temptation to revisit what you've said in the past, emphasizing whatever you think is most important for the church to hear yet again. A good title for this kind of sermon would be, with apologies to Jerry Seinfeld, I'm telling you for the last time. But there's also the temptation to include everything you've always wanted to say or thought you would eventually get around to saying, but now time has run out and you don't have the opportunity to. A good title for this kind of sermon would be, and another thing. George goes, and another thing, and another thing. But I've decided the most appropriate title for my final sermon to you all today is, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your preacher for the past 10 years. It almost didn't happen. 10 years ago, next Sunday, I pulled my rental car into the church parking lot on a rainy, daylight Satan Sunday, and I was the guest preacher scheduled to preach here the next 3 Sundays because you were looking for a preacher. And after preaching to 45, always round up, 45 sleepy saints at first service who were too groggy to laugh at any of my gold standard guest preacher jokes, I was dreading having to preach here 5 more times. But second service went much better. And my sermon was well received. Several people even suggested I interview for the open preaching job. And I came back 2 more Sundays to preach 4 more times and continued to be encouraged by the response. And not long after that, I began a formal conversation with the elders and the search team about the possibility of being the next preacher here. And at the time, most of my preacher friends did not think I would be a good fit here. They discouraged it. One of the more well-known church consultants told me that he couldn't imagine a preacher and a church less suited for one another than Wade Hodges and the Preston Road Church of Christ. My initial inclination was to listen to my friends and mentors, but as I visited with the search team and the elders and the staff, and as I continued to receive encouraging emails from a couple of persistent members, you know who you are, who were certain I was God's choice to be the next preacher at Preston Road, I found myself increasingly open to the idea. And now, despite what others thought and said when I was interviewing and then eventually accepted the opportunity to preach here, 10 years later, it's clear to me, and I hope to you as well, that God has been at work in all of this in unexpected and pleasing ways. I'm thankful to God and to all of you for the way this has worked out. Being your preacher, and it has been such a privilege being your preacher, being part of this church, living in this neighborhood, getting to know you all has been a tremendous blessing to me and to my family. I am better because of it. Thank you for inspiring me to be the best preacher I can be. You are an educated, Cooter Hale would say, an overeducated, thoughtful, theologically diverse church. And I recognized from day one that I had to do my homework and I had to prepare my message carefully to gain your trust so that my sermons would get a fair hearing from you. And thank you for honoring my hard work by listening well to what I had to say, even when you disagreed with me. Your thoughtful questions, feedback, pushback, critiques helped sharpen my thinking, broaden my perspective, and on a few occasions change my mind. And maybe I helped change your mind on a few things as well. Thank you for expanding my vocabulary. I remember the first time I heard a Preston Road elder use the word fiduciary. It was in a prayer. Look at what? 10 years ago, I had never heard of a columbarium. Now I happily explain to newcomers, it's simple. It's a column where you bury them. Thank you for showing me how to dress like an adult. When some said that we were ill-suited for each other, they meant it literally. Because I had to go out and buy a suit when Jim Barnett sheepishly told me that before my first guest Sunday that it was customary, nay, expected for the preacher to wear a suit and tie at Preston Road. I blew my whole honorarium on that suit. And thank you for being open to reform in this area. While I don't expect to be mentioned in the same breath with Martin Luther, I am proud of the work I've done to secure future preachers at Preston Road the freedom to not wear a suit and tie every stinking Sunday. Progress is progress, and I'm proud of it. But having said that, I don't know that I will ever be able to go back to preaching in a t-shirt, jeans, and sneakers. I've learned from you that it is okay, and in some instances preferable, to look and act like a professional. And thank you for showing me what generosity looks like. Based on my anecdotal research with other preachers, I'm pretty sure Preston Road has the highest per capita Sunday plate giving among churches of Christ. And the average Sunday plate is just a small sliver of this church's generosity. Because of my position here, I often have a backstage pass to some of the more quiet and hidden acts of generosity emanating from this church. Because of your generosity, clinics are funded, orphanages are founded, water wells are dug, families are housed, refugees are cared for, and those in need are served and relieved. Thank you for using your many resources to bless others in this world. And thank you for allowing the gospel to do its special work in you. I have had, over the years, numerous opportunities to defend this church when others assume the worst about it because it's located in one of the most affluent neighborhoods in the country. By the way, do you want to hear one of my favorite Highland Park jokes? Of course you do. Okay. This is a conversation between a group of Highland Park students overheard by a journalist at a local restaurant. You've seen a bunch of high schoolers come in and they overwhelm the table and they're in there chattering away and this journalist is sitting nearby and hears one of the students say to his friends, okay, everybody, check this out. Listen to this. Listen. He said, everybody in the world hates America. Everyone at the table nodded. He said, and everyone in America hates Texas. More nodding. Yeah, that's right. And everyone in Texas hates Dallas. And everyone in Dallas hates Highland Park. And that's when another student chimed in and said, "Oh, that's so cool." I've repeatedly told others that they... I got to be so careful with this next paragraph. I have repeatedly told others that you are not as snooty as they think you are. But that's not to say that a few of you aren't more snooty than you need to be. But as a whole, you are not who outsiders believe you to be. And that is because the gospel is doing its work in you. If it weren't for the gospel, and I have said this before in a previous sermon, this is not an outgoing grenade. If it weren't for the gospel, I believe some of you indeed would be insufferable. But you're not. Because of Jesus. And because you are allowing the gospel to counteract the corruptive nature of material wealth on your soul, which is something Jesus warns us about throughout his teachings. Your openness to Christ and the power of the gospel is making a difference in the kind of people you are and the kind of church you are able to be. It's the power of the gospel at work in you. And thank you for the way you've conducted yourselves throughout this pandemic. I have a number of preacher friends who have stepped out of ministry or are considering doing so because of the stress and the strain they experienced over the past 2 years. And some of it coming from the way their congregations resisted or criticized their leadership during COVID. I appreciate how you have refused to politicize core Christian values like loving your neighbor and putting the needs and interests of others above your own and the strong willingly making sacrifices for the weak. Even though I know you didn't like wearing a mask, I know you didn't always like keeping your distance, I know you didn't like online church. Actually, some of you did like online church. Pajama church, as you now call it. And some of you still like pajama church, a bit too much, I might add, but I digress. But please don't wear your pajamas here. We've relaxed, but not that much. But my experience with you all during the pandemic didn't burn me out. It sounds strange to say this, but it actually reinvigorated me and reawakened in me some dormant leadership gifts I hadn't used in a while. And I wish more ministers across the country had a similar experience. You have blessed me in this way. Thank you, Preston Road Praise Team, for all the work you've done. Being up here early on Sunday mornings, practicing on Wednesday nights, spending hours learning new songs, rehearsing old songs, setting a table every Sunday where hearts are open, minds are ready to hear a word from the Lord and to hear the word of God. Thank you for that. And Jeff, some of those lightning rounds, they're shocking. Thank you. Members of the ladies' Bible class. Where are you? Can I see a few hands in the ladies' Bible class? The ladies? Oh, yeah. Thank you to members of the ladies' Bible class for all the great Tuesday morning conversations we've had over the years. I was initially amazed at your open-minded, progressive curiosity. But in time, I came to not only appreciate it, but to count on it. Thanks for being a safe place for me to vet sermon ideas, explain some of my wackadoodle theories, and be honest about my doubts. If you're wondering where some of the boldest, most progressive, most open-minded and open-hearted thinkers and followers of Jesus are in this church, it's in ladies' Bible class. That's where it's at. And thank you, Preston Road ministry staff, for being not only great co-workers but also good friends. In 10 years, I have never dreaded coming to work. Because I genuinely enjoy being with you all. You're a bunch of all-stars, and I appreciate how you have dedicated yourselves to doing what you do best so that I had plenty of time and space to do what I do best. And I am so sorry for all the sardine salads I ate for lunch. That is what scented candles are for. And thank you, Preston Road elders. I wish I could say I never dreaded coming to an elders meeting, but that's not true. To paraphrase Don Henley, I'm not easy to work with. I know that it's true, but you're no picnic either, baby, and that's one of the things I love about you. And I don't know that I actually love it, but I do hope that as iron sharpens iron, we have sharpened each other during our inevitable but also infrequent times of friction. I've learned much from you. I've learned much about leadership from you. I've learned about community engagement from you. I've learned about donor management from you. I've learned so much. Now, I'll always be grateful for your willingness to give a wounded preacher and failed church planter an opportunity to heal and regain his confidence 10 years ago. I appreciate how from the very beginning you all empowered me to focus my time and energy on preaching meaningful sermons to this church. And I appreciate how you as elders, you wrestle with tough decisions as you try to balance both the family and the business aspects of church. And it is not easy, and it guarantees that someone is always going to be unhappy with you. And I'm grateful for the patience and the flexibility you've shown me over the past few years as I've tried to discern my future. I know it was messy, I know it was a roller coaster, but it's almost over. And thanks to that special group of encouragers who each week meet me in the back or send me a text or send me an email to tell me how much they appreciate or needed to hear my sermon. You know who you are. I know who you are. I will never forget you. And it is your encouragement that has kept me going. And I would say to others who you had kind thoughts, but you've never gotten around to expressing them, I don't need them that, but those mean so much to ministers, to preachers. And moving forward, I would encourage you, if you've got something nice to say to your preacher, say it. I have a folder in my office. It's this thick now. It's called the Bad Day File. And every time I get an encouraging note or an email, I would print the email out or put the card or the note in this file. And it's all of these reminders of why I do what I do. And I've never had to do it, but it's there, so if I'm having a particularly bad day, I can read those notes of encouragement in that file and remember all the many wonderful things I've heard from you. So please don't ever hesitate to send that encouragement note. It means so much. And thank you all for helping us raise our boys in the Lord. As I've said before, one of the main reasons that we chose to come here was we wanted our boys to grow up in a dynamic youth group, and that is exactly what they experienced here. And while this may be my last Sunday as your preacher, our boys are not leaving this church. Caleb and Elijah are away at college today. They're not here for this, but when they come home, I expect them to be here on Sunday mornings, seeing their friends, worshiping with you all, because Preston Road is still their home church. We may live 20 minutes up the road, but they belong to Preston Road. And I know you'll continue to receive and welcome them as your own, because that is who they are. And thanks in advance for the way you'll welcome and receive your new preacher. Please remember that there's a really good chance that your next preacher is going to be a human being. He's going to be good at some things and not so good at others. And if he's like every other preacher I know, including myself, he's going to bring with him some open wounds and some hardened scars. And I would tell your new preacher, it is absolutely appropriate for him to come here and do the necessary work to gain your trust and your respect. Credibility isn't given, it's earned. And it will take time for him to earn your trust, and it will take time for you to trust him, and rightly so. But please remember that trust is a two-way street. It will also take time for you all to earn the trust of your new preacher and his family. And don't expect more from him and his family than you're willing to give to them. Also, please remember that expectations are premeditated resentments. Let me say that again. Expectations are premeditated resentments or disappointments. I say that to you, and I'll say that to your new preacher, and I say that to myself as I prepare to go preach to a new church, and I hope someone is saying it to them. Expectations are premeditated disappointments and resentments. And finally, thank you for being a church that has historically kept moving forward. Christianity is a movement, not a stuckment. I said that back in 2014 when we were celebrating Preston Road's 75th anniversary. In just a couple of years, you'll be celebrating an 85th anniversary. Time moves on. And the Holy Spirit has always been at work in this congregation, sometimes pushing and pulling it into God's future. And you've always kept moving, sometimes willingly and sometimes kicking and screaming. But either way, you've never gotten stuck in a moment or a season or a decade you can't get out of. And it's this responsiveness to the Spirit, it's this willingness to keep moving forward with the risen Jesus that 30 years ago helped Preston Road develop a reputation for being an innovative, open congregation. One willing to take risks and try new things to engage a rapidly changing culture. It's what led Preston Road to play an instrumental role in worship renewal in churches of Christ in the late 80s and early 90s. It's also what motivated Preston Road in the late 90s to take the risk of initiating a conversation about women's roles in ministry, which then led to Preston Road including women in more public leadership roles, even though at the time it cost the church nickels and noses. This responsiveness to the Spirit has also led Preston Road members to use their God-given entrepreneurial DNA to engage some of the thorniest problems in our culture and in our city, resulting in the formation of organizations like New Friends, New Life and City Square and Christ Family Clinic. All those good things started here because the Spirit of God was moving and the members of this church were responsive to the Spirit. And I believe the Spirit of God is still at work, is still moving in this congregation. And I believe God has many more good works for you to do. So my final hope and prayer for you and my final sermon here as your preacher is that you will continue to respond to the Spirit's leadership. May you refuse to get stuck in the past or be paralyzed by the fear of failure. May you keep taking risks and keep moving forward with God. And like me, may future generations give thanks to God for the Preston Road Church of Christ. And may future generations join me in remembering before God your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.